You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, and the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. All right, CeCe, go ahead before we get into the Eagles and the Bills.
Oh, man, Philly sports fans for the win, man. I'm just looking at it on X, and there's this kid that's wearing an Eagles jersey that's running up as they're going into the game to watch the Bills and the Eagles play. There's a Bills fan, Bills jersey. He's got the Josh Allen jersey on. And this kid, he can't be more than 10 years old, goes up to this grown man who's wearing a Josh Allen jersey and pretends to try to shake his hand. The guy extends his hand to try to shake the kid's hand, and then the kid pulls his hand back and flips him off. That is, if you ever wondered how the sports fans in Philly get down, if you watch that clip, you would completely understand it after that moment.
Needless to say, we're probably not going to be able to show that on ESPNU, but yes, that went viral. Just search it.
I'm going to retweet it.
At Chris Canty 99.
Believe that. I'm going to retweet it.
See, here's the thing. You say that, and you're right. It is funny to watch, and then you put yourself, like, I don't have to go very far on this. I have a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter. If my son did that, I would lose it. I would be so furious if he did that, even though it would be very funny.
Yeah,
viral.
But Ev, this is not a surprise to me, though. I mean, I played in Philly essentially every year of my career. I mean, 8 years in the NFC East, I played in Philadelphia, and then I played against the Eagles when I was with the Ravens. Like, I mean, I know how the Philly sports fans are. Like, their kids are flicking you off, and their parents are cursing at you, too. Like, they're side-by-side doing this. So that's the kind of environment that it's always going to be at the link, especially when it's a big game.
Yeah, Evan, you'd be upset if your kids did that.
Yes.
These parents are filming their child doing
I'm aware.
Exactly.
I'm aware, but that's the difference. Yeah.
I would also bet all the money in my pocket that the dad encouraged this.
Oh,
that the
course.
Dad pushed the kid over there and went, yeah, go ahead.
It's hilarious. I'm sorry. It's hilarious. It's funny to me.
Of course. There's no question that
it's
happens.
Hilarious.
All right. Let's get into this game yesterday.
Kid's a legend.
Built different.
He's going places.
You got to give the Bills fans credit, that Bills fan, for not doing anything to a little kid, because if that was a grown up, they'd want to clock him, probably.
Yeah, you can't do anything to a little kid.
No, he laughed.
You just got to take the L in that situation.
Well, the Bills did yesterday.
Oh,
wow, what a transition. Not her first day, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Smallman. Philly beats Buffalo 37-34 in overtime. Josh Allen now 0-6 in overtime. And Josh Allen, typical Josh Allen game, right? There are moments where he looked unbelievable in this game, and they were smarter in the way they were going about it, dinking and dunking to tight ends and running backs and playing safer, and him running the football with two rushing touchdowns in this game. But at 24-21, the Bills are leading. He throws an interception, his eighth straight game with an interception. Then Jalen Hurts comes down and scores a touchdown in that spot. This is in the fourth quarter on a 2nd and 8. You're seeing it on ESPNU right now. And then after that, in overtime, as the Bills are driving, they get the ball first in overtime. They then throw a pass to Gabe Davis, which could have been a game winner. And it's total miscommunication. I'm sure it's part on Davis and part, obviously, on Allen. But this is Josh Allen. He is great enough to keep you in it, and he's frustrating enough to take you out of it, which is what happened yesterday and is what happened a ton, obviously, during the course of his career. At Evco Radio, at Unsports ESPN, for the poll on that about Josh Allen and what he is doing. Does he keep you in it or take you out of it? And, of course, that's in the Dr. Pepper inbox. But we go to the other side of it, guys, and we go to the Philly side of it. And I never, ever, ever like comparing anybody to Tom Brady. But Jalen Hurts in those moments has a Tom Brady feel to him.
Let's not do that.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Let's not do that.
Here's what I'm going to say. Okay? When they're down or when they need a score, I just assume he'll get it. That's what I'm saying. He's Mike Brady.
Let's not do the Brady comparisons. I remember Nick Sirianni compared him to Michael Jordan in those spots with the competitive greatness. But, I mean, that same stuff that we see with his contemporaries, that being Joe Burrow and Pat Mahomes, I mean, those leadership intangibles, that ability to be able to slow the game down in the biggest moments, Jalen Hurts has that in spades. So whatever it is that you think he lacks in dominant physical traits, he makes up for in the intangibles. And in that spot, there was no doubt in my mind that Jalen Hurts was going to give them a chance to get game-time points at the end of regulation, which he did, including throwing a dime to Devontae Smith on an over route to set up a 59-yard field goal by Jake Elliott. Would have been a little bit closer had Jason Kelce not had consecutive false starts, but that's neither here nor there. And then after the Eagles' defense is able to hold the Bills to a field goal on their first possession in overtime, there was no doubt in my mind that Jalen Hurts was going to go down and win it. Now, I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I knew he was going to find a way to be able to get it done. And that's exactly what happened, whether it was him using his legs, whether it was him using his arm. He found a way to make game-winning plays when the layups were there. He took them. I also want to give credit to A.J. Brown and those receivers in overtime. Like, those guys down the stretch in the fourth quarter in overtime, they were conscious of the clock. They had good awareness. They were getting out of bounds on catch-and-run opportunities. And so that makes a difference, and I think that's a sign of being well-coached, but I think that's also a sign of your quarterback having full command of their offense and making sure that everybody is on the same page. And so that's why Jalen Hurts, to me, has to be in the conversation once again for MVP. As we sit here today, he is the MVP front runner, and for good reason. The guy accounted for 5 touchdowns in the game yesterday, including the game winner. There are not enough adjectives that we can use to describe how good Jalen Hurts was yesterday. The guy is an absolute baller. And outside of Pat Mahomes, I'm not sure there's anybody out there in the NFL that I'd rather have under center for me than Jalen Hurts.
He's been absolutely outstanding this year. And you're right, it comes down to a feeling and a knowing that he's going to get it done when his team needs him to. When they had that kick yesterday, 59-yard kick, Jake Elliott, they panned to Jalen Hurts afterwards, and he was unflinching. He had this look on his face, this look in his eyes. He wasn't celebrating that the game was going into overtime. He looked so calm, so composed, so ready to go. You're watching that, you go, as soon as he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to find a way to win. And he did. He's won 5 consecutive starts when trailing by double digits, which is tied for the longest streak by a starting quarterback since 1950. He is just a guy who has the ultimate composure and finds a way to will his team to a victory.
What they have done here in winning these football games is just remarkable. I mean, they have as much of a gauntlet of a schedule as you could possibly imagine, and it doesn't get easier because their next game is against San Francisco. Which is just ridiculous. I mean, you think about that 3-game stretch. I don't even know how the schedule makers did this, because it's not like we didn't know these teams were going to be good before the season. The Eagles had, in having back-to-back weeks here, actually 4 in a row now that I think about it. Cowboys, they won that. At the Chiefs, they won that. Home against the Bills, they won that. Then home 5 weeks. Wow. Home against the Niners. Then at the Cowboys, you know what? If you want to go one step further, I don't think we can necessarily, but I'll do it for the sake of conversation. At the Seahawks. That may be the toughest stretch of football I have ever seen in all of my years watching the NFL. Do you ever remember in any of the years you played, CeCe, where you had 5 games in a row, let's say, against legit Super Bowl contenders and 6 games in a row against playoff teams this late in the season?
No. No. I don't remember a stretch like that. But here's the thing. They've already got a winning record in that stretch. Like, right now, they're just hanging on the rim. We'll see what ends up happening with the next couple of games. But, I mean, this is a really good football team. And I think the reason why they're as good as they are is because they have a quarterback that's focused only on winning. It's not about individual accolades. It's all about being able to do whatever it takes to have success. And once again, the Eagles got out to a slow start. What do they have? 7 points through their first 8 possessions in that game, and then they end up scoring a fire their next 6 possessions in order to finish the game. That just shows you that when it matters the most, the guys are going to step up, and Jalen Hurts is going to be that dude. And so I think you have to give a tremendous amount of credit to him, a tremendous amount of credit to the coaching staff under the circumstances. Remember, this was a team that was on the road on Monday night against Kansas City, and then you're talking about a short week against a desperate opponent, and that short week having Thanksgiving fall in the middle of that week, in the middle of that preparation, to put all of those distractions, potential distractions aside, and do what it takes to win an overtime game, to go the distance and then some against a team that's already in playoff mode in the Buffalo Bills, that shows you the sports character of the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know what more people need to see before they're buying into the fact that the Eagles are likely going to be the team that represents the NFC in the Super Bowl. I get it. San Francisco 49ers, when they're healthy, they look great. The Dallas Cowboys, they've been on a tear. Dak Prescott's putting up video game numbers. I get all of that. All you see from the Philadelphia Eagles week in, week out, is them stack notches in the win column. That's all they do is win. And so I guess to me, they have to be viewed as the best team in football, and they have to be viewed as the team to beat in the NFC.
So if we look at all of that, listen to what you just said, and look at the schedule and what they've already accomplished with that guy, likely the MVP as the quarterback, and all of those great young players on defense along the line, specifically Jalen Carter, who CC has said many of times.
Blocked a kick again yesterday, yeah, man. That guy is a menace, dude. He is a menace.
Like, okay, this is going to come off as an exaggeration, but I listened to CeCe and I watched the game. Like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, that's that's ridiculous to say after 10 games or whatever.
No, it's not. I mean, we had Chris Long on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the first time he saw Aaron Donald at practice, him and his teammates got together and said, yeah, he's going to wear a gold jacket. That's going to be Jalen Carter, too.
Yeah. So, all of that said, are they the most Super Bowl or bust team in the league right now? Like, would we put them above San Francisco? Would we put them above Kansas City, who obviously has a couple in the back pocket? Or, like, when you do what they've done, Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills in a row here, are they more of a Super Bowl or bust team than any other team in the league right now?
I don't think they're Super Bowl or bust, and I get it because A.J. Brown said that in his sit down that he had over the weekend, that air pregame. I get that. You know, in that conversation with Nate Burleson, he said it's Super Bowl or bust. But I don't see it like that because their window is wide open. Who on that team is going anywhere? I mean, I guess you could say that maybe Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox are getting ready to retire. But that's still a strong offensive line. And they draft well. Howie Roseman, like, where are they going? They've got A.J. Brown. They've got Devontae Smith. They've got Jalen Hurts. They've got DeAndre Swift. I mean, they've got guys on the defensive side of the ball, playmakers on all three levels. Darius Slay ain't going nowhere. He just signed a new contract. I mean, you've got Jalen Carter. You've got Josh Sweat. You've got Hassan Reddick. Like, those Jordan Davis. Those dudes ain't going anywhere. So I don't know if I can call it Super Bowl or bust. We judge them based on Super Bowls because of how good Jalen Hurts is and because of the regular season success that they've had. And, hell, being able to go on a deep playoff run already. But I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust just because I think they have a relatively wide-open window to win championships.
Yeah, I think it would be incredibly disappointing if in back-to-back seasons with the caliber of talent on this team and the play you're getting out of your quarterback, if the Eagles weren't to win a Super Bowl this year, it would be really disappointing. But I'm with CeCe, the runway feels so much longer for them than a team like San Francisco. It feels like if San Francisco—
Or Dallas, Smalls. Think about Dallas, too. Like, yeah, Dallas has got to win it now, too.
That's a great point, but— With those two teams, doesn't it feel really combustible after this season based on the contracts that you're going to have? You know, with Brock, Dallas has like everybody up for a contract basically over the next two seasons. Yep. And with San Francisco, with Brock Purdy on this deal, it just feels very fragile there after this season if they don't get it done. So we kind of have to take the Joe Burrow mentality, I think, with the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts, that the window might be his entire career.
Coming up, all the
small things.
Next on Sportsmanlike. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time for all the small things here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. I'm Michelle Smallman alongside Chris Canty and Evan Cohen. And guys, I want to start with the first Black Friday game in NFL history, the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. I was actually in attendance at MetLife Stadium. It's the first football game I had been to in years. I got to take my dad to the game. He was in town from St. Louis. My Uncle Johnny, my cousin Brian. We made it a family affair. And I was.
Did everybody get out of there with their Achilles intact?
We
because
did.
Because that's a hard thing to do at MetLife Stadium.
We did. And, you know, my dad had ruptured his in the past, so we were really worried about that, CeCe, but he was able to get out of there unscathed. But we were really excited to go to a football game. We hadn't been in many years because I'm from St. Louis. We don't have a team. So it was really exciting to go. And I've kind of been wondering when I'm ready to open my heart to love again to an NFL team. So not only was I there for the game, but I was also kind of scouting the New York Jets, you know, in a different ways. I wanted to see what the stadium was like. What are the fans like? What's the energy like? And the game was really fun. It was very packed, Black Friday. But right before halftime, the Jets are down 10-6. They get the ball back on a Tua Tagovailoa interception. DJ Reed with the pick, right? 2 seconds left in the first half. The Jets get the ball and they go for the Hail Mary attempt. Here's what it sounded like. Or maybe we don't have it.
Doesn't seem like we have
it. It doesn't seem like we have it. Okay, well, anyway, they're like, what's...
Now we do.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't sound like...
Well-oiled machine around here.
Long story short, in pure New York Jets fashion, right before halftime, they go for the Hail Mary, and Javon Holland... with the pick six, he intercepts it, goes 99 yards for the touchdown, and one of the most unbelievable plays you'll see, extends Miami's lead at halftime, 17-6. Okay, here's what it sounded like, guys.
It's a jump ball all the way down at the goal line, and that's intercepted for Miami. On the return, and running it to the 40-yard line is Javon Holland. He's at the 50, cuts it back at the Jet 40, has a crease. All the way down to the 15. He's at the 10, 5, into the end zone for a Dolphin touchdown to end the first half.
It was just so, so New York Jets in that moment. And I expected Jets fans to be so angry. This is a rowdy bunch, a proud fan base. I expected them to be throwing things on the field, to be yelling expletives, but they were so defeated. It was like the air got sucked out of MetLife Stadium. They have just been through too much. They have seen too much. It's as if they anticipated this, you guys. I've never seen anything like it.
Only the Jets. I mean, honestly, only the Jets. Every part of it. It's like I feel like we would have had the Bob Wischusen call, ESPN New York, Jets Radio Network, perfectly ready to go if it was for another team.
Correct.
But the Jets figure out a way of just bringing everything down. I mean, it literally, you just blame – not that CeCe and I are ones to talk now as Giants and Patriots fans respectively, but man, oh, man, only the Jets could you could have a pick six on a Hail Mary on Friday afternoon. Only them.
Well, Smalls, first of all, if you're opening up your fandom to the Jets, my question is, after what you saw on Friday, are you swiping right or are you swiping left?
I think we got to go left, guys. I don't know
left?
If my heart can handle that. I've already been so disappointed in my NFL love life. I just don't know if I can sign up for what I know is going to be inevitable heartbreak. I'm looking down at the stand. I'm looking at the people in front of me, and I'm trying to get a sense of the crowd. So many people had Aaron Rodgers jerseys on, and I thought, man, they were so excited. They went out and spent the money to rep this guy because they were so sure that he was going to be the guy to bring them to the promised land. Four plays in, utter disaster. It's been a nightmare for them. I feel badly for them.
So for the sports bachelorette, you're not going to give the Jets a rose. Check. Got it. Mm. All right, here's what I will say. The level of disrespect from Javon Holland in that situation, I can't begin to tell you guys. Think about it. It's a one possession game at that point. You would think that a guy would just want to knock down the Hail Mary rather than run the risk of trying to catch the ball. But that just shows you, everybody on that Dolphins defense, check that. Everybody on that Dolphins team looked at that game as a stat game. They're like, look, we got the Jets. We're going to get our stats up because there's no way in hell their offense is good enough to even threaten us to win this game. So we're going to try to get this interception right before halftime on a Hail Mary, and I'm going to try to house it. That just shows you how disrespectful the Miami Dolphins were being in that situation. It shows you the lack of respect that the entire league has for the New York Jets offense. That's how bad it is. That's a bad state of affairs. And I got to tell you guys, somebody needs to be fired for how bad this thing has gone with the Jets this season. Somebody needs to get fired. I don't know that it will happen, but it should happen.
Rob Saleh?
I can't say it's Rob Saleh's fault. The man is pleading the fifth when it comes to questions about a quarterback
I'll tell you who should get fired.
It ain't his choice.
I got an answer for you, right? You presenting the problem. We got to present it to the solution here. I know what you're going to say. Aaron Rodgers should fire Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
And they should fire Aaron Rodgers as the general manager. That's what they should do. You want to have him as your quarterback? Fine. Aaron Rodgers should be fired as the Jets general manager. Every play. I mean, Alan Lazard had a healthy scratch on Friday.
Healthy.
For the Jets. Who don't have an offense. Tim Boyle stinks. And that's the guy who Aaron Rodgers brought with him. Zach Wilson, who Aaron Rodgers wants to be the guy, obviously also stinks. Randall Cobb, no great eyes. Very amazing eyes. But not for the football, obviously. And Nathaniel Hackett. Did anyone watch the Broncos? 5 in a row? And what Russell Wilson has now done with that offense in terms of mistake-free football? The Jets, CC wants someone fired. Aaron Rodgers should be fired as Jets general manager. He is as bad of a general manager as Ryan Grigson was for the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, God. The single worst general manager in the history of the sports.
So remember,
there's your answer, CC.
Remember when Deion Sanders was going to Colorado and he says, I'm coming and I'm bringing my Louis luggage with me. I'm bringing my luggage and it's Louis. What's Aaron Rodgers' luggage that he brought to the Jets?
He has a lot of luggage that he brings with him.
That's a great question.
Because he brought a lot of luggage with him. He brought his coaches. He brought his backup quarterback. He brought some of his boys with him. And the luggage is not holding up.
But it ain't great luggage, though. It ain't great luggage.
The luggage
is not luggage that you want to keep around for a long time.
It doesn't have wheels. No. The luggage does not have wheels. It has one of those straps that like basically gives you a dislocated shoulder like through the airport. That's
the
luggage.
Is torn.
Oh, it's disastrous.
Okay, well, before we wrap things up here, I got to get to the other New York team. CeCe, if we're doing the football version of The Bachelorette, I want to come to the Giants so badly because I want Tommy DeVito as my quarterback. I want that guy to be good so badly. He is tailor-made for me. If there was ever a quarterback in the NFL that you could construct that would be a Michelle Smallman guy, it's Tommy Cutlets. It's Tommy DeVito. He went to my alma mater, Illinois. He's a New Jersey guy. He's an Italian. His family shows up at the game. They're smoking cigars. They're doing the Italian celebration. I absolutely love this guy. They played the Sopranos theme song when he ran out of the tunnel.
How cold is that?
It is unbelievable. I love that he lives with his mom still and he lives at home. He makes no mistake about or no bones about saying that he lives at home. And I love the celebration, you know, the little Italian hand. We even have an emoji that corresponds with it. And Tommy DeVito talked about his touchdown celebration after that barn burner that with the Giants 10, the Patriots 7.
Everybody was doing it at this point. I don't know. I'm cool with it. It's just a vibe. It's a lot of fun. So,
what would you call it? A high what? A high vibe?
No, that's a high. No.
Well, what's the word for that?
There is no word for it. I don't think there's a word for it.
No words, only vibes. It's a high.
By the way,
Giants fans probably love Tommy DeVito more than they love Daniel Jones right now.
Oh, that's obvious.
Seriously, like there's a world that exists that Tommy DeVito could be there longer than Daniel Jones would be there. Because listen, Tommy DeVito ain't nobody's starting quarterback, but Tommy DeVito could be the backup job. And with every win, that's what he's working himself into. Having security, being the long-term backup quarterback for the New York Football Giants. Now, the only question becomes, what do the Giants do long-term with the quarterback position, considering they do have Daniel Jones on the contract for 3 more years, but they are looking at having potentially a top 10 draft pick. Now, with each win, it's giving Daniel Jones more and more job security because the Giants won't be at the top of the draft. But the question that the Giants have to ask was, the 2022 season going to be more the norm for Daniel Jones, or is that the outlier? And I'm starting to lean toward the latter because you're talking about this guy in 4 of his first 5 seasons, missing significant time. So I don't know. Looking at the situation, I think that Tommy DeVito is a great story, But ultimately, it puts more ambiguity around what the Giants need to be doing long-term at the quarterback spot.
Tommy DeVito feels like one of those guys that's going to be on the New York Giants as a backup for 10 years. You could already pencil yes. him into the team's broadcast 11 years from now.
No doubt.
And he'll be a
no
New
doubt.
York icon for 30 years. And everybody will be like, did he ever play? Yeah, he played in 7 games in 10 years and threw 100 passes total, but we love that guy.
Yeah.
Also, let me point out one thing from the Queen, Debbie on Long Island, who tweets in at Upco Radio. Yeah, I said Aaron brought luggage with him. It's baggage, not luggage. Mm. That's what I just said. I said he brought luggage with him. He brought the baggage with him. Oh, man. Clearly, I have beef with words. What's beef around the NFL next on Sportsmanlike?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Billy F. Baby and I. I'm not leaving him. You guys can say I'm leaving Belichick. I'm not leaving Belichick. CeCe can laugh at me, as he has been for months on this. Oh, we are on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Yeah, I'm still supporting Belichick, that I want him back next year in New England. Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. All right, so yesterday and over the last 24 hours or so, the NFL provided us some beef, right? There's some beef going on. I'm going to provide you guys the beef, and you tell me what side you're on. Let's start with Diontae Johnson, Steelers wide receiver. The beef could be either versus the Steelers or versus effort, either one. Diontae Johnson on a fumble by the Steelers, by their running back, Jaylen Warren, literally just stood there, didn't move. There was talk about infighting with the Steelers prior in the week, and it was just horrible in terms of the way in which he looked. CeCe, Diontae Johnson versus the Steelers versus effort. Which side are you on?
Yeah, Diontae Johnson is dead wrong for that one. They had the ball in the red zone. You got to make a play for it. It's a live football. Now, whether you think it's live or not, that's why you always play through the whistle. And clearly the whistle wasn't blown because it was a live football. So you get on it. And there's no excuse for what Diontae Johnson did. But this ain't the first time that Diontae Johnson has been under fire, because he quite literally got into an argument with Minkah Fitzpatrick after the Cleveland Browns lost last week. And so this is becoming a little bit of a theme. Najee Harris, when asked post-game after the Browns loss about guys being out for self, he didn't want to answer the question, and he intimated that, yeah, there's a lot of selfishness going on. So I think that's emblematic of some of the problems that have been happening behind the scenes in that Steelers locker room, and you have to be a little bit concerned about it. Now, they got the win yesterday. The offense got back on track, but overall, with a team that's trying to make a playoff push, there might be a kink in the armor right there.
Yeah, I'm on the Steelers' side of this. I can't believe, if you're Diontae Johnson, that you would show a complete lack of effort on that ball. That's not something you expect to see from a player who's got Mike Tomlin as a head coach. So I'm on the Steelers' side, on Mike T's side on this one.
Based on what you just said about Tomlin, my guesstimation is their next game, he's a healthy scratch. He goes Alan Lazard style. That would be my best guess on that, that like they're going to actually penalize
You can't do
him.
That with that offense. You can't do that.
Well, they're not good with him or without him at this point,
you know,
I guess.
But hold on, you can't do that, though. I mean, he's still a threat. And with your new offensive coordinators, Eddie Faulkner and Mike Sullivan, shout out to Sully, one of my former coaches, like for them to be able to move the ball, to outgain the opponent in yardage for the first time this season, you can't take Diontae Johnson off the field and potentially disrupt that. Like you got to keep him out there, because he is, you know, one of your top two receivers on that team.
Next beef. Jay Glazer at Fox reports before the games on Sunday that Brian Daboll, head coach of the Giants, Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator for the Giants, very much not seeing eye to eye, and there could be a mutual parting of ways at the end of the season. The amount of stories that Jay Glazer in his career has gotten wrong, you can count on less than one hand, I would think, right? And so I think that just have that in mind. Giants beat the Patriots. Brian Daboll, their head coach, spoke to the media after the game about the reported tensions, there we go, between he and the defensive coordinator.
James, there was a report pregame that you and Wink are not getting along. Do you care to comment on that? Do you expect him to be back?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest argument Wink and I have had is who has the last piece of pizza. So got a lot of respect for Wink. Done a good job. I'll leave it at that.
All right, CeCe, you were a defensive player on the Giants. You buy that?
No, man, I don't buy that. Is it a coincidence that after that report leaks out that Brian Daboll gives Wink Martindale a game ball? Is that a coincidence? I don't think it is. I mean, listen, there's smoke there, and I'm sure there's a lot of tension because the defense is looking at the offensive side of the ball and wondering why they're not upholding their end of the bargain. That Giants defense has been creating a lot of turnovers, and the offense hasn't been able to do a whole lot with it. I mean, the offense has struggled. Now, yesterday they did barely enough to win, but that was because the defense set the offense up with a point-blank scoring opportunity. So there is some, I guess, tension between the two sides naturally because of the frustrations in being a 4-8 team. But I would say this, there is no mutual parting of the ways. If Wink Martindale is not the defensive coordinator for the Giants next year, it's because Brian Daboll doesn't want him there. And I don't think we've seen anything from Wink Martindale or that defense to say that he doesn't deserve an opportunity to be the defensive coordinator for Big Blue in 2024.
Yeah, when things go wrong with a team and inside an organization, CeCe, you've played, Evan, you and I have covered teams, people start to talk. Everybody wants to tell their side of the story to the media, whether it's on the record or off. They want to let you know that they're not the problem, and they want to show you who is. And so I'm not surprised that with the Giants sitting there at 4-8 in a season that's been a really big disappointment for them after what they were last year, that people wouldn't be telling the media this is what's happening and that there's tension there. Also, if you're going to come out and publicly defend your relationship with this person, maybe say more than like 12 words. It was like, we fight over a piece of pizza. Things are good. That's it. I would think if someone really wanted to defend their relationship and debunk these rumors, there might be a little bit more of a passionate defense.
Yeah, I think we're all not focusing on the right part of the story here. If it's those two sharing a pizza, they're each four slices. What are you fighting over? Somebody's getting five and somebody's getting three? I mean, I don't even understand.
That's not enough for those two guys. That's not enough to do. But I'll say this, though. Think about this, Ev. I mean, the Giants' defense, as of yesterday, has the second most three and outs forced of any defense in all of football. The Giants' defense is seventh in takeaways. They're tied for seventh. They got 19 takeaways this season that have led to 60 points for the Giants. That's fifth in the National Football League. And some of those are pick sixes. So, I mean, I just think about how good that Giants' defense has been. Even though they allow a lot of yards, think about how good that defense has been despite how bad their offense has been. Like, that's hard to do. And so if Wink Martindale is not the DC for the New York Giants in 2024, that's because Brian Daboll doesn't want him there. And there would be nothing based on his unit's performance this season that could justify that.
It sounds like it's a theme, because think about the team they played yesterday. New England has allowed 10 points in each of the last two games and has lost them both, which is just remarkable. Speaking of New England, their former quarterback, the GOAT Tom Brady, came out on his podcast, the Let's Go podcast on SiriusXM, and said that the play is kind of mediocre right now. Our very own Alex Smith on ESPN NFL Countdown in the What's Beef, Brady versus Alex Smith, which is a beef we didn't see coming here, had this response to what Brady had to say.
First off, he hasn't been retired that long. He was just playing. Like, he just won a Super Bowl in the current game. Like, is he discounting that one? My biggest complaint with this, he played in the most uncompetitive division, I think, in NFL history. I mean, you come out of training camp, the biggest cupcake division, you got a ticket to the playoffs right away. Like, talk about mediocre. I completely disagree with this. I know he's referencing the rule changes over the middle to the receiver, but in my opinion, I think the game's gotten better.
Yeah, Tom Brady versus non-AFC East teams in his career is 195-73. That's a 728 winning percentage.
You had that ready to go. You had that ready to go.
That is talking out the side of your neck right there by Alex Smith. That's what that is. Like, the reason why the AFC East wasn't competitive is because of how great Tom Brady was.
Thank you.
That's why it wasn't competitive. It's because Tom Brady was that damn good that it made all of those franchises look dysfunctional. As soon as Tom Brady leaves the division, what happens to the division? The Buffalo Bills are better. The Miami Dolphins are actually going to win the division title this year. Let's chill out on that. Don't start that. When Tom Brady says something, you just kind of nod and acknowledge it and say, hey, I disagree, but that's the go. There is no argument to be made with that. How can he complain about mediocrity when he played in a mediocre division? He didn't play in a mediocre division. The division just didn't look good because he was that good.
I mean, you can't say it better than that. You can't say it better than that. The only thing I could say to top that is don't buy fake Christmas trees this holiday season. Buy the real Christmas trees. It's time for an incredibly important message this holiday season. You want to help save the American Christmas tree farmer? Then do so by getting real and keeping it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees. Wouldn't you rather spend less for a real Christmas tree and assume a farmer is saving their job? Because that is what's happening. Farmers are saving their jobs if you buy the real trees. If you buy the fake trees, well, then you have a problem. There's no need for the farmers. Do we want to put farmers out of work? I don't think so. Buy real Christmas trees at Lowe's or wherever Christmas trees are sold and get more information online, plus participate in cool contests. GetRealKeepItReal.com. GetRealKeepItReal.com. Buy the real Christmas tree. Get that smell. Get that feel of that real holiday Christmas tree, not the fake one that's going to hurt the American Christmas tree farmer. GetRealKeepItReal.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Time for a little positive programming here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman with Chris Canty, and CCR boy Evan Cohen was not. Oh, here he is. He's coming to sit down. He
what
always gives you a hard
right
time
now?
For being
Evan
late.
Evan is actually late back from a break.
He's late back from a break. First time, wow. I think, in the history of the show, Evan late coming back from a break.
We got to find him though, right? That's a buck in the jar.
I was
right?
late.
You were late. I brought us back in.
I was talking to Hembo. Does that count as being late?
No, that doesn't matter.
Even more of a fine. That's a $5.
But I'm literally
talking to somebody else that doesn't work on the show. How does that help us?
But I'm working on his show today, so we went over some of the things on his show.
No, because
you're taking away from our show to do somebody else's show.
And that's
justified.
Well, Cece was at one point chatting it up in the hallway, trying to get guests to come on our show,
right.
And I think
I
put money in the jar.
All right, I'll do it.
Exactly,
I'll do it.
I got fine.
Okay, so guys, what's the total? What is the...
It's a dollar.
Yeah, I have no problem doing that. You're right. Let me get my scrunchie out. I have it. You can see on ESPNU my amazing wallet here. Can anybody see this? This is what my wallet looks
so
like.
So for those who are just listening on the radio side, Evan has what looks to be 51 credit cards and or gift cards, two $1 bills all wrapped in a pink scrunchie.
Yeah.
I think he can get rid of some of those cards. I don't.
The
think
identity
he
thief
those.
Starter pack is what Evan's carrying around with a scrunchie.
You know what, Cece? Somebody would lift that out of his
right?
pocket and
they
be like,
got,
"You can have
this back."
I don't need it. I don't need
it. You're saying
Smalls, they might be sitting there co-hosting with us with all the information Ev got on them cards.
Totally, they would be like a Tensione pickpocket. Now you can have this one back. I don't need your AMC Theaters gift card.
So you're saying like a mugger or robber would actually turn me down. Yeah. Be like, nah, I'm good. I don't want that.
Well, they would think it would be a big wad of cash that was wrapped in that pink scrunchie, and then they would realize that it was a bunch of expired gift cards, I think.
How do you open this thing?
Yeah, it's a mason jar I brought from home that's a little subpar.
This?
You just have to,
there you go.
You just have to pop the top, put a little wrist in.
A little elbow grease.
There you go. You
grease.
Got it. All right. Well, while Evan is wrapping up his fine, let's get into some positive programming, boys. So it's rivalry weekend in college football. We had some great games. One that we didn't talk about, Washington State. Washington with a 24-21 victory. The game-winning field goal as time expired by kicker Grady Gross. From Washington, great performance from him, but maybe just as exciting for Grady Gross, which is what happened after the game, if I could talk. Here's what it sounded like. Oh, maybe not.
I'm thankful for Grady Gross.
Yeah!
And you know what I hope Grady Gross is thankful for? The scholarship he's earned.
Surprising Grady Gross in the locker room after the game with a scholarship after he
I don't love it.
Why are you shaking your head?
I don't love it.
He sent the team to a victory and he gets a scholarship on Thanksgiving weekend?
Why are you adding expenses? What kind of way is that to run a business? He's already going to the school paying his own way. Why are you now adding expenses that you could have used for someone
else? Listen, I don't think kickers are football players, and even I got to get on board with what Kalen DeBoer did for Grady Gross. Being able to give that man a scholarship on Thanksgiving weekend, all of his family around him, and celebrating hitting the game winner. Come on, in a rivalry game, no less? Yeah, I love this story, Smalls. I don't know that Evan could put a negative spin on this one.
Pretty sure
it's
I just did.
So positive. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your take is ridiculous. There's no way you could turn this positive into a negative.
Well, let's see, CeCe, how he tries to spin this negatively. So, same thing. Thanksgiving, college football. Michigan running back Blake Corum used his NIL money to buy 600 turkeys. He delivered them in Michigan over the holiday. It's the third year in a row that he's done this for Thanksgiving. So, shout out to Blake Corum for using his NIL money to make a difference in his community.
That's nice and all, but 600, that's it? I mean, how small of a town is it? I mean, you know, there's got to be more people that didn't get turkeys from Blake Corum, no?
There's no way you can make that. Once again, there's no way you can make that negative, Evan. That's terrible. Love what Blake Corum did. That's awesome by him. Wouldn't expect anything else. They've got great leadership on that team. And I actually like the fact that some of their leaders took shots at the Ohio State players after the game, like Roman Wilson. When he said that, yeah, these guys are wearing Louis and $1,000 outfits and they're acting tough, but they're not tough. They see the film. And I guess that was a shot at Marvin Harrison Jr. too, but I mean at Ohio State in general. And I guess to the victors go the spoils. I mean, that's what happens when you win big games like that, especially when you've won three in a row. And guys, think about this. Marvin Harrison Jr. with having, what, C.J. Stroud as his quarterback? Mm-hmm. And then before that, who was the quarterback? Justin Fields? Marvin Harrison Jr., would have not won a game, won the game against Ohio State if he leaves and goes into the NFL draft. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bummer. This is supposed to be positive programming.
Wow.
If you're an Ohio State fan, this is, wow. that no, is but not this, putting a smile on your face, CeCe.
This is the way, because like I'm kind of against the idea of Ryan Day getting bounced, but what you're doing allows for that conversation to come up when you say, well, he had Stroud and he had Fields. And he had Marvin Harrison Jr., and they don't have – like, when you add the context and the layers to that Ryan Day conversation, it becomes harder and harder to hear.
How did I take a college athlete using his hard-earned NIL money to buy turkeys and deliver them in his community into somebody getting fired? How did you guys spin
because,
that?
Now, I will give CeCe credit or blame, however you want to look at it. He took it down the path, which I liked because it's a story we hadn't gotten to, of the making fun of them for the Louis, to then he took it to Marvin Harrison, to he took it to his record against Michigan, to I took it to the conversation about the termination of Ryan Day, which now I'm going to go back to make it even worse for Michigan because, CeCe, give your idea candidate for Ohio State who they should look at if they get rid of Ryan Day. Somebody that was coaching that Michigan game.
Michigan interim head coach Sherrone Moore.
Oh, man.
Why not? How great would that be? You've already seen proof of concept. The guy took your rival.
He knows how to win that game.
In six games this season, in two different stints, and ended up winning the game. And now being able to punch their ticket to the Big Ten championship game and, in all likelihood, the college football playoff. So, yeah, go ahead and hire this guy.
Anything else for positive programming?
Next.
I think I was going to shout out Ludacris from coming down from the sky during his halftime performance, Falcons and Saints, but I don't want to do that to Luda. I don't want to somehow make this negative about Ludacris because we love him. So,
well, that's better than how things went for T.I. and his son at the Falcons game yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's another story. T.I. started out on a high note, bringing the team out on the field. Let's just say it ended on a low note.
We are on Sportsmanlike, literally on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.